So Romans chapter 10 and at verse 8. But what saith it? Paul writes, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We end our reading there at the end of chapter 10, looking to the Lord to add his blessing to it tonight. Alistair has already quoted tonight that text we thought about last Sunday evening, where Paul says to these Roman Christians, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those words, of course, were spoken in the Old Testament by the prophet Joel at a time when the people were in desperate need. They were spoken again by the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, again on a day or an occasion when there was a special need. But we noted that this is a message that has got great scope. Whosoever, that includes you, that includes me. This is a gospel message that embraces all of us and excludes none of us. Doesn't matter about our age, doesn't matter about our class, doesn't matter about culture, doesn't matter whether we hear the gospel for the first time or whether we've heard it umpteen times. This invitation goes out to all of us that we might come to know Christ. This is a message with a great Savior. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because you see, salvation is found in Jesus Christ and found in him alone. To look anywhere else, I'm afraid you're wasting your time. Jesus Christ remains the only Savior for sinners. And then, of course, this is a message that is a great salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful word, saved. Saved from the penalty of sin, saved from the very punishment of sin, saved from the very power of sin, and of course saved one day from the presence of sin itself. This really is a wonderful salvation. Those, of course, who trust in Christ and embrace God's salvation will be saved. The other side of the coin is simply this, that if they don't, then they'll be lost. There is no in-between state. You can't sit on the fence and hope that someday, because of your goodness, you'll somehow topple off that fence and end up safe in the arms of Jesus. It doesn't work like that. Those who are saved, bound for heaven. Those who are not saved, well, simply lost, dying without Christ and without hope. That's why I come to this text tonight in Romans 10. bringing this little series to a close, we're going to think about our responsibility towards the gospel. I've often said in these meetings, by way of warning, that those who die without Jesus Christ will be eternally lost. I take no delight in saying that, but the fact of the matter is that that's exactly what the Bible says. That's why it's so important that we treat the message with great urgency, and that is why it is so important that those who are unsaved realize their awful plight without Christ, and they come and they seek Him while He is yet to be found. But it's also the reason why Christians tonight, more than anybody, should grasp the urgency of reaching men and women with the gospel. You see, here's where we come to tonight in this lovely book. What Paul has to say here, there's something for the believer in Christ. There's something also for those who don't yet know Him. One comes as a great question. That's to the believer in Christ. The other comes with clear instruction. That's to those who as yet have never trusted Christ. And I want us to think about both these things together this evening. Let's begin with a very important question. Listen to what Paul says here, verses 14 and 15. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You want a good missionary text? Here it is. If you want a text to stir up the Lord's people in the area of evangelism before a mission, here it is. But the problem is we shouldn't just be thinking about missionary work. And we just should not be thinking about special times of outreach to motivate us as far as souls are concerned. This is a text tonight that comes to us with tremendous force. The Apostle Paul asks a series of important questions. They're all interconnected. And remember that in the context of these verses, he still has Israel as a nation, both on his mind and also in his heart. But he's looking way beyond that. What he says here is something that is so true of our own world tonight. You see, Paul has already told us that the gospel has to be preached. But those who hear it have a responsibility also to respond to the message. You might be here tonight, you're not a Christian. It's your responsibility not just to hear the word of God, it is your responsibility to heed it. It is your responsibility to think about your own soul because it's your own soul that's in the balance. It is your responsibility to consider these eternal issues because they're real. And not only are they real, but they involve you. And they involve me. And they involve an eternal destination. Heaven with Christ, hell without Him. That's why it is absolutely essential that when you hear the Word of God, that you respond to it, and that you respond to it urgently. I'll come back to that. But Paul here asks an important question that he lays at the feet of the believer in Christ. And even though this may well be a gospel meeting rather than a missionary meeting, the fact is that you could not move over these particular verses without accepting the challenge of them. And here's the challenge. How can men and women have this salvation, this great salvation in a great Savior with all its scope? How can they have this salvation if they don't have an opportunity to hear the message? How can they have God's salvation if somebody just like you, somebody just like me, if somebody doesn't go and tell them? How can they ever be saved if the opportunity is not afforded to them. Now, it may well be that Paul has in mind here the preacher whose responsibility it is to preach the gospel of grace. But this should surely be understood in a wider context, because it lays the responsibility of sharing our faith, of sharing the gospel with others, it lays that responsibility at your feet and mine. How can people know the truth if we don't bring it to them? How can people tonight know the way of salvation, and that knowing Christ is real and it's relevant and it's such a blessing? How can they actually know that if you and I walk past them continually and never tell them about Jesus? This world is changing rapidly. There are people now more than ever who do not darken the door of any church building. Alistair is related to the home that they met on Wednesday evening. And there's a lady who will return home to a home where the gospel is not freely preached, to a country where the gospel is not easily accessed. She's going home with a Gospel of John in her pocket, which I hope she'll read. But she's going home with it because somebody went and told her. Where would you be tonight, Christian brother or sister? Where would you really be tonight if someone had not taken the time to tell you about the love of Jesus Christ for your soul? Call it a wonderful burden for his fellow countrymen. That's clear in this letter, particularly in these chapters, where he says it like this. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." That's why this man put his life in danger on 3 missionary journeys, so that people might hear the gospel. And I'm starting off tonight with this tremendous challenge to all our hearts. If we don't share our faith, people don't hear. If we don't catch the vision, people perish. If we don't take the gospel to them, many of them will never darken the door of any church, let alone Lisburn Baptist Church. And they could die without Christ. And they could end up in a lost eternity. And God may well require their blood at our hands. This is a very important question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Will you go out tonight? And will you be determined to tell somebody this week that they desperately need a Savior? You don't tell them. I don't tell them. They might never hear. Here's the second thing. This is where I'm coming to tonight. There's not just a very important question. There's a very important instruction. This message we've already seen is a message that's wonderful. It's good news. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Paul comes in with this little phrase. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. What a tragic phrase that is. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Even if men and women hear the gospel and we make every effort to reach them, there's no guarantee that they will respond to the claims of Christ, but at least we must tell them. And Paul, with Israel on his mind as a nation, he quotes from Isaiah's prophecy. He's reminding us that not all receive the good news of the gospel gladly. We take Israel for a moment. We thought about the great mistake that they made when they sought to depend so much on their own self-righteousness instead of the righteousness of Christ, and how that they wanted to meet with God on their own terms instead of His. And remember that God, through the prophets, had spoken to them. They wouldn't listen. And God had given them so many opportunities to respond to His word. They wouldn't do it. They even killed some of the prophets that God had sent to be His spokesmen. And even when God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to be their Savior, the fact is they didn't even recognize Him for who He was. And even though He had come to die on the cross and shed His own precious blood for their sins, John makes it very clear about the rejection, for he says it simply. He says, He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. They didn't only not receive Him, they took Him, they beat Him, they spat on Him, and they humiliated Him. And then they took Him and they nailed Him to an old rugged cross. And then they cried, "We will not have this man to rule over us." What rejection. It only further emphasizes what Paul is saying here when he says, "But not all have received or obeyed the gospel." So let me say this to those of you tonight who perhaps are here. You're not saved. Maybe you're like Israel of old. Maybe you're not substituting the righteousness of Christ for your own because you haven't got that stage where you see in Him all that you need to be saved. But maybe it is tonight that you've had many opportunities, great opportunities, glorious opportunities, to respond to the claims of Jesus Christ, but you still remain unconvinced, you still remain unmoved, you've rejected God's offer of mercy, you have no time for the One who was sent to be your Savior. You too could stand like those of old, and thinking of Christ and all that He's done on the cross, you could say, "But I don't want that man, Pastor, ruling over me. I have my mind made up. He's not for me." Well, if that's your decision, how tragic. If that's your attitude, how terrible. If that's going to be your response as you stand on the verge of eternity, what a tragedy to open up your eyes in hell, my friend, and be in torment. You see, if things are going to change, and they need to change, you need to treat this more seriously than you've done up until this present moment of time. And I want to remind you here of three very simple things with this instruction. Here's what Paul says. He says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How simple is that? You need to grasp firstly tonight the importance of hearing. Now my wife tells me that I've got selected hearing. That's not true. My hearing's just not as good as it used to be. It's an age thing. But sometimes I don't hear her, and other times she makes it very clear I haven't heard her. It can be a little bit selective. When it comes to the gospel, you can't be selective. When it comes to the matter of your soul, you've got to be honest and open, and you need to be listening. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. You see, Paul's underlining something for us here that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to as being vitally important. Remember what he said to those of his day as he ministered amongst them and he brought to them those lovely parables explaining this great spiritual truth. He often said to them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now that might seem a little bit strange, does it not? I mean, if they've got ears, What are ears for? They're for hearing. But it is possible to have ears and to hear, but unfortunately not to hear the things you need to hear. When it comes to the matter of your soul, when it comes to this great area of salvation, you need to listen carefully to what it is that God is saying to you, because some of you don't seem to be listening. It's not just enough to sit in meetings like this. It's not just enough to listen to the gospel being preached. It's not just enough to even know this gospel, to have a head knowledge about it, to go out through the door and say to the preacher on your way out, enjoyed that tonight. What does that mean? You're not saved. You could be swept out into a lost eternity before the next time we meet and you enjoyed the meeting. You need to do far more than enjoy a meeting. You need to hear the voice of God through His Word. And when you listen, you need to hear and you need to heed. Because some of you have listened to the gospel for umpteen years and you're still not saved. Some of you have been cradled in the gospel. You know it inside out. The message has gone in one ear and out through the other. And maybe even worse than that, you are maybe even unmoved when it comes to the preaching of the gospel. Wouldn't that be a terrible situation? Just to sit and to sit and to listen and to listen and to hear and to hear and to walk through life, knowing all of these things buzzing around in your head, and still remain with nothing in your heart. No relationship with God. No knowledge of sins forgiven. And far more importantly, no place in heaven. What an insult that is to God, that you should waste opportunities and that you should hear and yet not really listen. There's the importance of hearing. The second thing is this, there's the importance of faith. So then he says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing the message and heeding the message should lead to a response of faith on our part. And it's a very important faith, because we've learned this already from this lovely letter. This faith is a personal faith. It's a faith that you must personally exercise in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You cannot depend on anybody else's faith. You won't be in heaven because your friend is a Christian. You won't be in heaven because parents taught you the gospel. You, my friend, whatever age you are, young or old, you need a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. You. It's between you and God. It's your soul that's in the balance. It's your sin that offends Him. It's your sin that Christ has died for. This is about you. This is a personal matter. But you need to come to the place where you realize who Jesus is, what He came to do through His death upon that cross at Calvary. You need to grasp that when He died on that cross, He died in your guilty room instead. Pastor, what does that mean? It means this. Such is your sin in the sight of God that if you had to be the only one who ever lived, it was still necessary for Jesus Christ to die on that cross that you might be forgiven. You need to exercise faith in Him. You'll get tired of hearing me say that, but I'll never tire of saying it. There is no salvation apart from Him. It's Him.
It's him. It's him who died, and it's you that's all saved, and you need to hear, and you need to heed, and you need to exercise faith in him. To be able to say with the hymn writer, enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I came to him. He'll never cast me out. And I need no other argument. I seek no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. For me. This is not just personal, this is wonderful. Child of God, tonight, do you still thrill yourself at every remembrance of that fact that he loved you and he gave himself for you? Because you know, when preaching to others about the way of salvation and the Christ of the cross, we can become so used to hearing it that we ourselves forget it. That he loved me. Hell-deserving, rebellious, no-good sinner. And he loved me and died for me. This is personal. It's precious. Time doesn't allow me to develop that. But you see, he speaks about the importance of hearing, the importance of faith. And then he speaks about the importance of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go out into the doorsteps. Go out of the town. Go and talk to people who have no thought of God and tell them, ask them indeed what they think about the Word of God. They'll tell you, honestly. Don't believe it for a moment. Not relevant for the day in which we live. Full of inconsistencies. Contradicts itself. And on they'll go with these great statements about the Word of God, a word that they don't even know. But when we come to the Word of God tonight, whatever people think about it, the apostle reminds us here that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For it is through his Word that God has revealed himself to us. It is through his Word that God brings to us and declares this great message of salvation. It is in his Word that God tells us everything we need to know in time and for the whole of eternity. Listen, folks, men have their own ideas and churches have their own systems, but the Word of God is absolutely simple and clear about this salvation. And God's Word is truth. It's all that we need to know. And then it is everything we need to hear that we might perceive. Let me tell you quickly what these things are, and I'll close. It tells us that we're all sinners who need to be saved. Was that not the starting point in this great book? As Paul very quickly unfolds for us the world in which he lived, under condemnation, living in sin, and made this great statement that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's Word declares that. You can argue that till the cows come home. But it doesn't change the fact that without Christ we're helpless and hopeless and we're lost and can do nothing to save ourselves. But the Word of God also tells us Christ died for our sins. And there's the remedy to the real problem of sin. Christ died for our sins. Paul puts it beautifully, does he not, in that text we thought about a number of weeks, maybe months ago now. How that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the remedy. That's the answer to your sin-sick soul. This is how you might be sure of a place in heaven. You're a sinner. You can't enter heaven the way that you are, but Christ has died that you might live. And if you haven't grasped it after all this great singing tonight, my friend, we stand forgiven at the cross. Christ has died that we might live. Thank God he lives tonight that we need never die. The Bible tells us that. There's one other thing I'll mention in closing. I'll leave the rest. The Bible also tells us that heaven and hell are real places. And that you and I will spend the whole of eternity in some one of them. That means some of us are going to be in heaven with Christ. Some of us are going to be in hell without him. Think about that. You're the only one in the family tonight that's not saved. The whole family rejoicing on their way home to heaven, and here you are. And you're sitting here tonight in another opportunity, and God has revealed himself to you, and God's speaking about the urgency of these matters, and heaven awaits you. But you're not responding. I tell you, young man, young woman, older person, I'd long to see you in heaven. Long for that. But you'll not be there unless and until you come and you trust Christ as your Savior. Pastor, how can I be sure about all of this? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. You see, in the light of all of this, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with the message you have heard again tonight? Going to heed it? Or just hear it and go home and tell your family or your friend, enjoyed that tonight, good meeting. Good meeting. You're on your way out into a lost eternity. Are you going to repent of your sin and grasp this opportunity to get right with God? For it's very simple. Once again, the gospel message. From the Savior, you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I urge you to trust the Savior. If you haven't done so, and if I can help you do that, I'll stay and take whatever time's necessary, because I mean it. You know the way of salvation, you're not saved. I want to see you in heaven. Let's pray together. Just still your heart for a moment. Just think about where you are and how you are spiritually. If you're not saved tonight, perhaps you need to see this more personally than you've seen it before. And when you say tonight, I will believe, I do believe that Jesus died for me. Trust the Savior. And do it while you're still in time and not in eternity. Father, we thank you for every privilege we have to open up your word, to share your word, to speak even privately and personally with individuals. There are many tonight
who are not saved yet. They burden our hearts. Families and friends whom we know and love and have known for years. And yet sometimes we wonder how they'll hear if we don't make the effort to tell them. Would you give us a heart for people? Would you give us a heart for evangelism? For those tonight not saved, our Father, who know the truth, but have yet never called upon the Lord that they might be saved, would you give them great grace? And our Father, may it be that they with us can say, even as they leave tonight, they stand forgiven at the cross. Bless your word to us. Bless in the open air later on tonight. Bless throughout this week with the team who are out around our community here in Lisburn. And those who go further afield and all who tell others of Christ, bless every effort, we pray in Jesus' name.